In the readings we just heard, God put men to the test. David demonstrated heroic virtue, while the men of Gerasa showed that they loved earthly goods more than God and neighbor. Although David is a skilled commander and a warrior who has won countless battles, he decides to flee from Absalom instead of defending Jerusalem. The city was built on a hill and fortified, so it was challenging for any enemy to take. But David's not reasoning in military terms, but in terms of God's providence. He recognizes that God is punishing him for his sins, particularly for what he did to Uriah the Hittite, sleeping with his wife and having him killed. He repented of those sins and did penance, but it was not enough to make amends fully. The penance was of his own choosing. Now he will suffer things he did not choose. Because he killed Uriah, he ought to die, as he said to Nathan, but he is spared death because of his repentance. Nevertheless, as he betrayed Uriah, so he will be betrayed by his son Absalom. And as he slept with Uriah's wife, so will his son sleep with wife from his harem. David does not know in advance how things will go, but he does know that because God has ordained these events, it is useless to fight. In the past, he could not lose because God was with him. Now he cannot win because God is against him. By leaving the city, he will avoid useless slaughter and destruction. In a spirit of penance, he will bear all that God permits, awaiting the hour of mercy when his sufferings will come to an end. Because he is doing penance by accepting what God has sent, he leaves the city barefoot and with his head uncovered, even though an army accompanies him, and he could ride in glory. He is in that state of mind, this penitential state of mind, when Shimei comes to him and begins to throw things at him and shout curses. Shimei is of the same tribe as Saul, and unjustly blames David for the death of Saul and several of his descendants. He supposes that David brought about their deaths as revenge for how Saul treated him and to secure his throne. By cursing the king, Shimei sins gravely and deserves death. But David recognizes that God could be using this evil to punish him for his sins, and he does nothing to Shimei that day. St. Ambrose uses this episode to illustrate the highest degree of patience. The three degrees are shown by how people react to being rebuked for something they didn't do. An ordinary person is not satisfied with knowing in his heart that he's innocent. He responds in kind with insults and accusations. Someone who has made progress in virtue is able to keep silent. And those with perfect patience welcome the abuse, remembering that or hoping that God will reward them. This is how St. Paul was. He said, "When we are cursed, we bless." And so too was David, who welcomed the insults and stones of Shimei, hoping thereby to obtain God's mercy. Now, even though Shimei's accusations were unjustified, when Shimei called David a murderous and wicked man, there was some truth in that. God was making use of a man who falsely blamed David for murders he didn't commit to punish him for a murder that he did commit. It also happens to us at times that we're rebuked for things of which we're innocent, while we're never accused of other sins of which we are guilty. If we keep in mind those hidden sins, we can see the false reproaches as less unjust. Perhaps unjust in the mouth of the person who speaks them, but not unjust in the providence of God who permits them. For these reproaches make up for others that we merit but will never hear, because those who reproach us know nothing of those hidden sins. Today's Gospel teaches us other lessons about patience and providence. Christ crosses the sea and lands in pagan territory. That is why they're herding swine instead of sheep or some other kind of kosher animals. In that area, there was a possessed man who was a danger to the public. But when he saw Jesus, the demon was afraid and begged not to be tormented. In fact, the poor man had a legion of demons in him. A Roman legion was between 5,400 and 6,000 men. And even if legion wasn't meant literally, at least there was a demon for every one of 2,000 pigs. They asked to go into the pigs when they're cast out of the men, and Christ permits this. First of all, this shows us that a demon cannot even trouble a pig, much less a human being, unless God permits it. Second, Christ permits this in order to show us the number and the malice of the demons that were in that bed, and consequently the great danger from which he and that whole region have been delivered. If God had permitted it, the demons would have done to us, or would do to us now, what they did to those swine, or still worse. Lastly, Christ puts the population to the test to see which they value more, salvation or swine. The locals hear what happened and come to assess the situation. The man whom no one could help stands there safe and sound. He and their land have been delivered from thousands of demons, but at the cost of 2,000 pigs. In the end, the great economic loss proves decisive. They ask Jesus to leave. He agrees, leaving the man whom he delivered to tell his tale so that the people can rethink their decision. So what would you choose? Are economic considerations the primary factor in your daily decisions? They tend to dominate, at least in elections, which perhaps says something about our priorities as a nation. So what about you? Are you ready to lose something here on earth in order to gain eternal life in heaven? Or do you want heaven only if you can get it cheaply? Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.